quarters went into the translation and internal printing delivered by the FAOs. And comes next the interpretation. So this is a information which you may wish to cross-reference with the finance and budget paper presented to the Commission last year. And this is meant to be an explanation or breakdown of the chargeback costs that was shown in Table 1 of ARINORM 06/29/9. If you have any questions, I'll be happy to reply. Thank you.
Thank you, Secretary, for this extra information, and the floor is open if there are any comments on this document. Sarah D. Nye. If none, member of Latin American Caribbean, please.
Gracias, señor presidente. Y gracias, señor Sumsi, y al secretariado por presentarnos por primera vez ya un desglose de este tema del chargeback. Ciertamente los números son muy interesantes. El primer concepto de, bueno, el primer subconcepto de publicaciones representa una gran parte del presupuesto del Códex. Quizás sería interesante, eventualmente, conforme se lo permitan los sistemas contables, distinguir lo que son los cargos de interpretación y los que son las impresiones de material. Pero queda claro que es una gran cantidad de recursos que se están dedicando a esta actividad. Solicitaría que se pudiera dar consideración a la sugerencia que hicimos, viendo la cantidad de presupuesto que se dedica a esto, para analizar la posibilidad de tercerizar, sobre todo los servicios de traducción. Parece que hace sentido financiero desde cualquier punto de vista. Habría simplemente que hacer una buena planificación y ver cuáles son los requisitos de normatividad de la FAO para una excepción de este tipo. Pero nos gustaría ciertamente que se analizaran estas dos posibilidades, de hacer la planificación y de ver si son o no son cumplibles desde el punto de vista de normatividad los requisitos para hacer esta tercerización de los servicios de traducción.
Thank you, member for Latin American and Caribbean, and the question of outsourcing of translation has come up now and also yesterday, and maybe the secretary can explain the difficulties within FAO with regards to outsourcing of translation facilities. Secretary, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As I explained yesterday, although this matter may merit attention and certain follow-up, but I am under the view that such follow-up could only be made at a FAO-wide organizational basis as long as Codex program is administered by FAO. Thank you.
Thank you, Secretary. The FAO has a system of sourcing services, and one of those services that, in fact, under the FAO system is translation facility. I mean, translation service. And much as it's very tempting to recommend outsourcing and it might be cheaper, but the current rules within FAO do not allow that. But again, as the Secretary said, it's a point of interest, and maybe it can be raised up by our senior FAO managers here. And again, the other comment from the member from Latin America of whether we could break down the cost items, especially that relating to translation and internal printing. Well, it's also tempting, but first of all, let's congratulate the Secretariat and FAO for this attempt which has been made. And hopefully in future, and if their internal accounting system allow, we shall appreciate further breakdown. But maybe as executive committee, such further breakdown might not be so much of use to us. But we really appreciate the attempt which has been made here. And we encourage, in case of future possibility, to have further breakdown if it will be of use to us. Member from Africa, please.
Mr. Chairman, well, thank you very much, and thank you to the Secretariat for this breakdown. I think it's true this issue came up yesterday, and then we discussed it very lengthily, and because it's constituted about a little bit something above 30% of the budget, that's why it's here. But we shouldn't lose sight that we are talking about $2 million. And that if $2 million, I don't know, for Codex it's much money, but you know, we are taking a lot of time to discuss issues of $2 million, I think. But anyway, let me a little bit comment on the highest figure here, which is a publication, and I think we recognize, all of us, we see how much is being done at the level of the Codex for publications, also translation. And this issue of outsourcing of translation, I can again say that it's difficult, it's easy to manage when we are dealing with a private entity. But this is a multilateral organization. And, you know, it has its rules, and some of the rules are, you know, are imposed by the members. And I am afraid if we open this issue, it will bring another political problem within FAO. I just recall very recently this big discussion on transferring the shared services to Budapest. It was just a few people, handful of people, to transfer from Rome to Budapest. But I can't tell you how the Italian government took it. It was not easy. So I'm afraid that if we go again and discuss you know, things that may, you know, in, may affect the relationship between the host country and FAO, I'm afraid we may enter into some difficulties. I don't know how the it's attractive, but I don't know how the executive committee is going to take that up, or the commission, but it is certainly going to be a difficult issue, and which may entail a lot of negotiations. Thank you.
Thank you, Member for Africa, for that further clarification. And as I said, we really leave it with our senior management within FAO and WHO to explore such possibilities. It's something that has to be done at the policy management level within FAO. And as executive committee, I don't think we can do much. And I'm tempted to invite the secretary to look at document Add one. We have spent quite a bit of time on document Alnom 07/30/9, and I would invite the secretary to look at the to introduce Add one. Secretary, please.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman, for reminding us that we are only in the middle of the current agenda item, and we still have two documents to examine before 9:30, I'm afraid. The next document is the addendum to the main working document, which was prepared specifically in reply to the request made by this committee and endorsed by the Commission. First of all, I would like to stress the preliminary nature of this document. We try to respond to the question raised in a very concise but overarching manner without going into too much detail. So if in the end of this discussion the committee wants to ask more questions or more information, we could address them at a later date. But the intention of this document is to have an overview of all current practices of different financing methods implemented in the international agreements, convention, and other instruments that are more or less comparable to the Codex program. And we looked at different funding methods that could eventually be applied to the Codex program in addition to or as substitute to the current funding mechanisms. And this document has been prepared in cooperation of relevant legal and administrative units of FAO and WHO. Mr. Chairman, the section, the paragraphs 1 through 6 simply recalls the history of the Codex, the funding mechanisms for the Codex program. When the Codex program was created in early 1960s, it started with trust funds that counted on voluntary contributions from member countries. However, very quickly the Commission realized that it would not allow for sustainable funding that should be the basis for long-term to mid-term session planning. Therefore, the Codex requested FAO and WHO to switch the funding mechanism to the regular budgets of FAO and WHO. I understand that the request made by this executive committee was made in the context of the overall budgetary difficulties faced by the UN system as a whole, and aiming at reviewing whether there are any other possibilities, and if there are, what kind of benefits and disadvantages each of such options might entail. Mr. Chairman, since the Codex program is administered by FAO, this document follows a structure that also that mirrors the system of categorization of subsidiary bodies within the framework of FAO. Paragraph 8 and 9 explains that the Codex Alimentarius Commission is a body established under Article 6 of FAO Constitution and Article 18 of the WHO Constitution. As you all know, there is no international treaty or convention that established the Codex Alimentarius Commission, but there are two parallel resolutions established, adopted by the highest governing bodies of FAO and WHO. And this has provided a basis for the Codex program. In the framework of Article 14 of FAO Constitution, there are a number of subsidiary bodies, among them the International Plant Protection Convention Secretariat which is also known as one of the three sisters of SPS agreement, together with Codex Commission. Among the Article 16 bodies, there are no single model for financing of the program, and as you see, there is a range of different options that are followed. And finally, as paragraph 15 through 17 mentioned, there are other conventions and agreements that have been negotiated or concluded within or outside the framework of a specified United Nations agencies, but after the adoption, the administration of those instruments has been entrusted to FAO or WHO. Two examples are given there. One is the example of the World Health Organization Framework Convention on Tobacco Control. And the second example is Convention on the Prior Informed Consent Procedures for the Certain Hazardous Chemicals in International Trade, which is usually known under the name of Rotterdam Convention, which is administered by United Nations Environmental Programme and FAO. Mr. Chairman, paragraph 18 onwards, there are three distinct financing mechanisms are described with the advantages and disadvantages each of those may imply. The first one is mandatory assessed contribution, which means that a legally binding instrument needs to be concluded and ratified by member states before such funding mechanism can be contemplated. So there is a lot of legal and procedural implications for this option. Secondly, voluntary assessed contribution is mentioned as a possible financing mechanism even for a body established under Article 6 or Article 14 of the FAO Constitution. Of course, there can be an option whereby the voluntary assessed contribution is used as the unique means of fundraising or as a mechanism complementary to another funding mechanism such as regular budget funding, which could offer a core funding complemented by voluntary assessed contributions. Such a mixed funding is followed by the most recently concluded international treaty on plant genetic resources for food and agriculture, which is implemented by FAO. And finally, in paragraph 27 and onwards, there is a brief description of the current financing mechanism based primarily through the contributions received from the regular budgets of FAO and WHO. And in conclusion, Mr. Chairman, I would like to draw the attention of the committee to paragraph 30, where funding mechanism or the study of the funding mechanism of Codex program is one thing, but Codex being operated in close coordination with the FAO and WHO activities, namely on the provision of scientific advice. If this committee wishes to look at this problem of funding mechanisms for Codex program, it should not be examined in isolation, but it should be put in a broader context of the overall funding regarding food safety standards setting, food standard setting, and underlying process for the provision of scientific advice. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Secretary, for this very interesting paper. And can I open the paper for some comments, please? Any comments from the floor? Member Southwest Pacific, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I should perhaps begin by thanking, of course, the Secretariat for presenting this paper. In some ways, it did come up as a surprise. In fact, we hadn't recalled the request, but that had apparently been made at the 29th session of the Commission. Not that we disagree with that request, but I think it's good. But we haven't really had a chance to look at this or study this paper in any great detail. In fact, we only managed to read this document on arrival in Rome. So it is in some ways it's going to be difficult for us to offer any substantive comments on the various options that are presented. For us, really, there are two broad context in which we have to look at this. The immediate concern that I think we all have is around getting some sort of certainty around the current budgetary arrangements and what that entails in terms of contributions from FAO and WHO. So we have an immediate interest in terms of the short to medium term. How can we put the current budgetary arrangements on a more secure footing? The longer term options are interesting, but from a cursory reading of the paper, we clearly need to have a lot more detailed assessment of the various options and what they entail for us as members of FAO and WHO, which are the parent bodies who contribute to FAO, to CODEX. For example, the mandatory contribution, mandatory assessed contribution system implies that it would require an extra contribution to CODEX in addition to whatever members are currently providing to FAO and WHO. On the face of it, that may not necessarily be a very attractive proposition to our Treasury, for example, at the national level. And I think in the context of various budgetary pressures at the national level, that may or may not necessarily be an attractive option. Equally, voluntary assessed contributions presents its own problems in terms of uncertainties and possible shortfalls. Any longer-term separation of CODEX as a separate entity then raises questions about what additional costs that might entail for setting up an independent organization. So there are a number of questions for us. The key thing is how do we, in fact, proceed with further discussion of this. Our own feeling is that it is worth further consideration. Our interest would be to continue this discussion perhaps at the next session of the Executive Committee in parallel with our ongoing efforts to secure increased funding or put CODEX on a more secure funding even under existing arrangements. And one of the thoughts that occurs to us is that, which may not necessarily be considered or explained in this, is what opportunities exist for, within the current arrangements, for actually appropriating funding for CODEX on a more secure basis. What we have in mind is, at the national level, for example, departments that have a principal lead responsibility for international organizations are given money reflect the annual contributions to the parent bodies. In this case, for example, our Ministry of Agriculture is given an annual amount that is the amount that is required by way of subscription to FAO and WHO. That money is not something that can be used by the organization. It's insulated from any budgetary pressures that departments have at the national level. So the question is whether there is some opportunity for putting the contribution annual assessments for codex on a more secure footing by way of assessments that are not subject to the vagaries of broader debate within the parent bodies. I don't know whether I have explained that very clearly, but I think there is some opportunity for us to look at some via media or some other options within the existing arrangement as well, in parallel with a longer-term discussion about longer-term options. Thank you.
Thank you, member from Southwest Pacific. And there is a very tempting proposal that the document, we welcome it as a very good document, very good thoughts put down, but they merit further discussion, and mostly further discussion in our capitals. And should we therefore suggest that we receive the paper and postpone discussion on it until our next executive committee? That meaning we would have had opportune time to look at it and discuss it within our capitals and come up with some very informed and constructive suggestions. Could that be our way forward out of this? Member North America, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yes, no problem with the way forward. Just a note as well that IPPC is also facing the challenge of future funding sources given the expansion of its role as well. So we are not the only sister organization that is facing these challenges. So it's also useful for the organizations to share information on the different approaches. Certainly OIE, IPPC, and CODEX do have different approaches to funding based on different histories, but there may be some lessons learned. And just again to pass on thanks for the additional effort that has been put into the budget discussions for this meeting, both in the preparation of this paper and in the additional information provided on the budget from FAO. Thank you.
Thank you, Member North America. And Member from Africa, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It is true this is the second time I'm taking the floor, but what I would like to start with is something that I would have loved to start with early this morning. Let me take this opportunity, first of all, to congratulate Ezdin Boutrif. We learned yesterday that he has been appointed director, and I think this is a very good information for us. Because in recognition of his work, I think the management of FAO has done something, and let me personally, because I heard it late yesterday, and to congratulate him for that, and that he will continue to have our support in delivering his performance job. But now, coming to the paper before us. Coming to the paper before us, Mr. Chairman, I think this is a very, very, very difficult issue and which needs further review. But what I would suggest, I will go along with your suggestion, but I wish to add that I think we need a more global paper on that. That is probably given the point of view of FAO Secretariat, given the point of view of WHO, and looking at other alternatives. And if possible, Mr. Chairman, we set up a working group for that, because it's a very, very complicated issue. I think if we cannot set a working group on that, at least let us initiate a discussion, because I know it's going to take time. If we compare it with what happened with IPPC or the International Treaty on Plant Genetic Resources, I think it may take a lot of time. So these are the things, because the paper is good. It gives a broad view, but it does not go deep into some details of this thing. And then the legal offices, when I say the secretariat, surely they should involve the legal offices of WHO and the FAO, because there are many legal matters that will be involved. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Member for Africa. First of all, on your first note, I also received the information yesterday, and in fact, I had planned to make it a major point when we come to any other point, any other business. And I was going to fit there, but now that we have mentioned, I think we should note that the executive committee congratulate him for this high appointment. And secondly, I am really not tempted to make further suggestions on this paper, because I think we need to have slightly more time to look at it. And much as your second proposal is also very tempting, but let's give ourselves time and also allocate ourselves in ample time in the next executive committee to look at it and see if we could come up with clear recommendations as to what will follow next after the discussion. So can I then ask the committee to postpone discussion on this paper until next session, and ask the secretariat to allocate enough time on the agenda for discussion of this paper, please? I think we are in agreement, and we have info document, and Secretary, can you have 2 minutes?
I think our colleagues from FAO and WHO can have 2 minutes. Thank you.
FAO and WHO, info 3, report of FAO and WHO budgets for codex-related activities 2004-05 and 2006-07. Scientific support to Codex. Who will start? FAO or WHO?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Since I have the floor, and before presenting the paper, I would like to thank all the members of the committee for their warm greetings, and I would like to assure them that as director of the Nutrition and Consumer Protection Division, which oversees, of course, the work of the Codex and Codex-related activities from the FAO side, of course, I will continue to support Codex work and Codex-related work with the conviction that this is an important program for our member countries. And I will do my best to secure the necessary, of course, support from the FAO side, with of course the help and support of my Assistant Director General, who is sitting next to me, who is as convinced as I am of the need to continue to work together to make Codex and Codex-related work as our priority within the department. So you have my assurance that I will continue to work with you and with the Commission to ensure FAO's continued support to this program. Thank you. Having said that, on the paper that is in front of you, as you can see, is as short as we can make it. It provides an information on the financial support that is provided by FAO and WHO to the scientific advice that is given to Codex, and as it covers the support that is provided to the permanent bodies like JECFA and JMPR and JAMRA, but also to other expert consultations that has been held in 2000 and 2006 and 7, and our plan for 2008 and 9 for this activity. Table 1, which summarizes the figures for all these activities, show a sizable increase, particularly in the nutrition-related activities, while maintaining the same figures for the other expert bodies, JECFA, JMPR, JEMRA. JMPS is it's a new, relatively a new creation. That's a joint meeting on pesticides specifications, which is with our colleagues in the plant protection service here in FAO, and with WHO from the chemical safety unit. The figures for 2008-2009 are provisional figures, of course. We hope that they will be confirmed by the conference later this year, and we will, as much as possible, secure this funding the codex, to the provision of scientific advice in support of codex. There will be a discussion later in the program, Mr. Chairman, in the agenda of the committee on the other activities that FAO provides to in support of codex, where we will discuss what is planned by FAO and WHO to increase the support to the provision of scientific advice, and that I will present our ideas at that time. But this is mainly reporting from the financial point of view on what we have done in the last biennium and what we are planning for the coming biennium. With that, I will, with your permission, Mr. Chairman, I will give the floor to my colleague from WHO if he wants to add something, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. No, I don't have much to add to this. Maybe just to remind the committee that these figures do not include the human capital. If we were to describe the totality of the budget, it would be significantly larger than that. But that's not done in this area. Could be done if the committee wished so, but we have not done it until now. That's the only additional thing. Thank you.
Thank you, WHO and the FAO, and as Executive Committee, we'll note the efforts and the funding by both organizations in the provision of scientific advice. And ladies and gentlemen, I want to wrap up our discussion since yesterday. First of all, by observing that as an executive committee, we note the budget estimates presented to us are estimates which were based on, were done by the Secretariat, basing on cost increase of 16.2 for personal service and cost increase of 3.2 on non-staff cost activities, and that the budget hasn't been approved by the FAO governing body, which is expected to meet in November this year. Of course, we know the approval has been done within WHO, and we cannot for certainty approve it, and I'll seek the guidance of the Secretary as to when do they expect the budget to be finalized, and whether as an executive committee we can have a look at it again. We have also noted that the proportional contributions to Codex budget between FAO and WHO needs to be discussed and, in fact, ask WHO to increase its contribution. And maybe we can even request for higher level discussion between the directors general of FAO and WHO to see how these proportions can be increased from the WHO side, especially that we have extra activities on the global strategy for dietary and nutrition. And also, we have to request WHO to seriously consider food standards and food safety issues as healthy matters. And I'm saying this because if we remember the discussions yesterday and indeed the reaction from WHO, it's the same old concept that health means diseases, health means treatment, epidemiology, but slowly we are being convinced that safe food is a health issue. As without safe food, as I said yesterday, there is no human life, and if there is no human life, there is no health, and even treatments and medical budgets will be increased in terms of diseases arising or what I want to say is, without proper food, treatment will not be as effective as expected, and national budgets on medical costs will be increased. And we encourage the WHO member governments to recognize that fact, that food safety is a healthy concern. I seem to be mixing up issues, and I hope the secretary will be able to pick out some of the points properly.
Mr. Chairman, your summary seems to be perfectly okay and reasonable. And of course, because this agenda item has been split over 2 days, the executive committee members may wish to recall that yesterday member countries reaffirmed the need to raise the voice in the benefit of Codex program in the respective governing bodies of FAO and WHO, so that the message is heard in WHO and FAO, which carries the final decision to allocate contributions to Codex program. And also, there was a request or there was a point made as to reach a good balance between the use of regular budget and extra budgetary contributions in a manner that any increase of extra budgetary contribution would not result in the decrease in the regular budget. I think if members can agree, those points could be added to your conclusion. Thank you.
Thank you, Secretary, and I hope the members agree. So those points will be added. Can we then go back to the strategic plan? And we had formed a working group, And can we get the information from the chair of the working group, please?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. We should have before us CRD 8. And I take it that has been circulated. Mr. Chairman, as you mentioned yesterday and a few minutes ago, you mentioned that without safe food, there's no human life. I can inform you that the group worked from 6 to 9 without any food, but the threat of human life remained, and hence we have a report. We worked in an extremely cooperative manner. We were perfectly facilitated by Noriko, and in that good spirit, Mr. Chairman, I guess that all the issues that were referred to the group has been resolved, and we reached basically consensus. As a result of discussions yesterday in the executive committee, we took only on board proposals or concerns from the regional coordinating committees. Our understanding was that part one has been endorsed by the committee, so we did not come back to that, apart from two editorials. And therefore, Mr. Chairman, I propose that we should look into part two, where in track mode you see all the amendments. You should keep in mind that there were amendments proposed by the several coordinated committees. You see also corrections on typos and editorials, consequential amendments, and on several pages text has been made in conformity with existing codex text, and I will not go into all these details. For your information, here and there, in the margins, in the balloons, Noriko has tried to capture the flavor of our discussion. This is for your information, and Mr. Chairman, I will highlight a few of them, but the proposal from the group is that we think this document is fit for endorsement by this committee, and then it can be attached to the report and forwarded to the Commission for adoption. And then these balloons will be taken out. Just as I said, I will not go through all the amendments, but only a few. We started with reminding the group the very nature of this document. It is an aspirational document, providing information in which direction we should steer the Commission and the subsidiary bodies. In that regard, it is a valuable document. It will help also our subsidiary bodies to understand in which direction the wind is blowing, and on many issues, concrete action would require additional decisions by the Commission. So in that spirit, we looked at this document. I would like to draw your attention to point 1.3. We agreed to insert a reference to the WHO Global Strategy on Diet, Physical Activity and Health. And you see in the balloon that there was some concern that such a referral of a reference might preempt a discussion in the respective committees. And we agreed upon this inclusion and proposed that in the report of this executive committee we have a short paragraph that Codex, being a subsidiary body, should indeed give due regard to the general policies of both parent organizations, which is also included in the introduction in part one. And here, in this paragraph, we convey the message that in the next coming years we wish to pay more attention to nutrition, but by no means that this preempts the deliberations and the decisions in the subsidiary bodies and the Commission. And in that regard, it was a concern, and we propose that it is addressed in a short paragraph in the report of this meeting. On the page 7, you see, you will recall that we had a leftover at point 1.6, and I draw your attention to the balloons linked to Goal 2. Particularly the Coordinating Committee for the Latin American and the Caribbeans had expressed deep concerns, particularly on the way the CCPR and the JMPR operates. We had a lengthy discussion, but in the end agreed upon not to amend the text in that sense to reflect the concerns in the document, but as you can see in the balloon, to try outside this document and elsewhere to find a solution. And we suggested the possibility to convene a workshop by Dobeso and FEO. But we just had a lengthy discussion, and it resulted not. We agreed not to change the text on these issues. On point 2.2, Mr. Chairman, very briefly, there was a date, 2008. We did away with it. It was not only the CCNFSU, but the chair of the Food Hygiene Committee solemnly confessed that also her committee has work to do. So therefore, we thought it appropriate not to change 08 in 09, but look into somewhat more general text. The spirit is that all relevant committees in the coming years finalize their risk analysis principles and that the review can be completed by 2013. Then maybe for sake of clarification, particularly relative to a comment made yesterday in the meeting by the coordinator for the Near East. He could not attend our group, but has forwarded comments to the head table. That was pertaining to point 4.2. He had proposed to add wording, let's say, to avoid duplication of efforts or conflicts. After a lengthy discussion, Mr. Chairman, we have decided not to change the text at all, because we thought it appropriate that the current text is fine and provides maximum liberty and freedom later on in discussions in the Commission how best to elaborate modalities when we work together with other international organizations. But this is particularly in the light of a proposal made by the coordinator for the Near East. On 5.2, Mr. Chairman, we had an interesting discussion, and as you see, we also tried to pencil in an additional element, particularly in those cases that a member or a delegation has provided comments in response to circular letter, but when you are not present, that the chairs should take that into account. And here I would like to draw your attention to part 3. That's the only amendment we made in part 3. This is on page 19, relative to 5.2, where you see under output and measurable indicators that we added an adherence by chairs to the guidelines for the conduct of meetings, because this is included in the guidelines published in the procedural manual. And then finally, Mr. Chairman, at that time it was 5-9 that I fell for my chair when we discussed 5.3. Some of us were absolutely under the impression that the intervention by the coordinator for Latin Americas about fair geographical distribution and hosting codex meetings, that she wished to see something added in the text. And we found out that it was not the case, and so we could adjourn the meeting at 9. And we did not change the text. We also recall that yesterday in the executive committee, the Kazuwaki has made a proposal that, given its complexity, that he offered to prepare a document for consideration by our next meeting, but I am even not sure that that is needed, but I leave that to the coordinator of the Latin Americas. With this, Mr. Chairman, these are the highlights, and I hope this will suffice, and we think that the document is fit for endorsement by the committee. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chairperson of the Working Group, and
As executive committee, we really commend the work done by the working group, and I would ask the committee whether we can now adopt this finalized document and recommend it to the commission for adoption. You're supporting my view, I think.
Gracias, señor presidente. Quería hacer una aclaración que indudablemente la hice ayer y no fue comprendida. Dije justamente al iniciar el tema que sabíamos que esta presentación del 5.3 había dado lugar a muchas interpretaciones que sin duda no habían estado en el espíritu de América Latina y el Caribe. Si América Latina y el Caribe hubiera pretendido que se cambiaran las condiciones actuales en que se eligen los países hospedantes de los comités, hubiera sin duda solicitado una modificación del manual de procedimientos, y sinceramente no ha sido esa la intención. Luego del debate, lo que sí me queda absolutamente claro, que ha sido totalmente infortunado que Argentina hiciera este comentario en el marco del plan estratégico, porque en realidad la preocupación de la distribución, de cómo se han distribuido en los países los comités, obviamente que existe, pero no era un tema para tratamiento en el plan estratégico. Era simplemente dejar señalada cuál era la preocupación del comité, y de eso tenemos absolutamente certeza, lo hemos dicho en otras ocasiones. Lo que le pediría, señor presidente, es que asumo que estos comentarios adicionales han sido para la explicación esta, pero que retiren los comentarios del cuadro este que figuran en relación con el punto 5.3, y por nuestra parte estamos de acuerdo con el texto que se ha presentado para su aprobación. Gracias.
Thank you, Coordinator for Latin America and Caribbean, and we appreciate the spirit. And can I then ask the Executive Committee to adopt this document and recommend for its adoption by the Codex Alimentarius Commission? No objection? Then we adopt this document and we recommend it for adoption by the Executive Committee. I mean, by the Codex Alimentarius Commission. Thank you very much. Sorry. FAO, please.
Mr. Chairman, I'm not going to oppose the adoption. Of course, this is outside my area. But I wanted just to comment on a comment that was made on goal 2. It was made a comment made by the working group on goal 2, promoting widest and consistent application of scientific principles or risk analysis, to say that the proposed workshop here to be done by FAO and WHO, to say that it has already been implemented. We have a report that has been published recently, and we have held a meeting workshop in Belgrade, and it contains a number of recommendations for, again, FAO and WHO to follow up on these recommendations by the meeting, which we have been trying to generate resources, of course, for implementing these recommendations, which we will do in the future. But we are continuing with this exercise on how to enhance the participation qualitatively and quantitatively of developing countries in the process, in the scientific advice activities that we carry out through the permanent bodies, as well as through the expert consultation that are held from time to time at the Codex request. Thank you.
Thank you, FAO, for this further information. And ladies and gentlemen, can we now go to Next agenda. Next agenda is agenda item 5. And I have a proposal to put across. We are not very comfortable with the time. And can we skip this, as it will also be discussed thoroughly in the commission? And we go to the next agenda item. And I'm also looking at the agenda items which are really exclusive for the executive committee. And if we could also skip 6A. And 7, of course, if we have time, we can come back to. And could we go to agenda item 8? And for agenda item 8, I would also propose that we don't look at 8A at this time. We could go to 8B. And at this time, if we could look at agenda item 8B, and can I invite the secretary, please, to introduce it, please. Secretary, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And thank you also for reminding me that we could, if we all agree, go into a private session at this time, as we have done in the past sessions, when we appreciate one by one the applications filed by international non-governmental organizations for observer status to allow us to have a thorough discussion.
Agenda item 6B is on review of Codex Committee structure and mandates of Codex Committee and task forces. And I wish to invite the secretary to introduce the agenda item. Secretary, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. If I am to provide the full background of the matter, it would take up at least half an hour. So I will cut it short by simply saying that the issue of how Codex is operating efficiently and optimally through its current structure of subsidiary bodies was such an important but a big matter that the joint evaluation that took place in 2002 they chose not to look into this matter, and it was left over from the joint evaluation. Subsequently, the, let's say, small evaluation on this particular issue was initiated by a team of consultants, independent consultants, having Codex experience. And their report with recommendations was presented to the Commission, and several of the recommendations were endorsed by the Commission, including, for instance, the splitting of Codex Committee on Food Hygiene and Contaminants into two different committees. And we have already noted that these two committees that were split already met in April this year in Beijing. Again, there are still a few issues. There were still a few issues for which the Commission deferred its final decision. It was in that framework that the Secretariat prepared a paper setting out a number of concrete proposals that might address the issues that were, had been identified by the Commission. The last session of the Commission looked at this paper, but the Commission felt that because of the late circulation of the document, members had not had enough time to appreciate each of the proposals. There were 11 of them. So the Commission decided to circulate the same discussion paper in the form of a circular letter and request comments from members. But at the same time, a few coordinating committees took the liberty to look at this issue. Mr. Chairman, the replies from the member governments on this issue are compiled in the main working paper, which is Arinom 07/30/9C, Part 2, and its Addendum 1, and LIM 11 document. So there are three documents that contain the direct responses from members, and you could find somewhere in this room the original circulated letter, CL 2006/29, that contain the 11 proposals formulated by the Secretariat for the consideration of this committee and the Commission. Mr. Chairman, several proposals are interlinked. Therefore, if we proceed with proposals one by one, there is no problem. But then we need to draw a conclusion that might cover more than one proposals. Mr. Chairman, among these proposals, there is a particular proposal that has a significant impact on the agenda item of this committee, which is agenda item 2, which was kept open by the decision of this committee during the session, so that any discussion and conclusions or recommendations which this committee could draw on proposal 8 would be applied to the decision this committee is taken on a few items that are still pending under item 2, namely some proposals from the Coordinating Committee for Asia. Therefore, Mr. Chairman, this committee, among others, of course, all these proposals are important to be thoroughly discussed, but given that the time is limited, and I note that we are almost approaching the time for the morning coffee break, the committee may wish to start its discussion with proposal number 8 and discuss other proposals as long as time allows. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Secretary. And as you rightly said, it's coffee break. we break for coffee, and as we come back, we can start our discussion on Proposal 8. And we come back at 11. Enjoy your coffee break. Thank you.